Good evening. Happy Wednesday to each and every one of you. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Do you have a hallelujah in your soul tonight? Right? He woke us up one more day. Man, he's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just enter into this night with prayer? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. I pray that you would have your way in this place, God. I pray that you would touch those that are listening online, God. I pray that you would move how you want to move, God. Move without restraint. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Announcements. Miss Sister Christy English will come up too. June 6th. Everybody say June 6th. Summer game night. Do you know who this is for? Each and every one of you that is here tonight. Everyone. There is a place for everyone. We're going to have pizza, bingo, games, sports. So pickleball and volleyball and fun. So if you want to be a part of that, we want you to be a part of it. And that will be happening on June the 6th. Now, Sister Christy's going to make an announcement.
Okay. It's summer, school's out, and it's time for VBS, Vacation Bible School. We have not done a Vacation Bible School in 2 or 3 years, and the kids really love Vacation Bible School. Now, I am here to make a plea for volunteers and help. There are so many areas and ways that you can help us and serve. We need people to help. Sister Victoria King is going to be over the registration. And in the foyer, we have parent letters and registration forms. All children must be registered. It's free to attend, but they do need to be registered. It will help us prepare for this, all the things that we need. But Sister Victoria will need help with she's going to have a registration committee because they register, but then you have to group them up. You have to put them with a crew leader, and there's a lot to it. So she's going to need, if that is your thing, you know, sitting and organizing and making lists, there's you a spot. Decorating. Now, I know that's probably the hardest part because we go all out to decorate. And this is where men could really be beneficial. We need those muscles to help do some of that stuff, okay? And build stuff. Okay, crew leaders. We need people. If your heartbeat is to be in to lead a little group, what happens is when they get here, it's going to be every Wednesday night in July. We're not going to do a full week Monday through Friday. We're doing it a little different this year. We're going to do every Wednesday night in July. And each the kids will be divided up into crews. There will be 5 to 6 kids per crew, and there'll have to be a crew leader with them. And so when they all get here, we have an opening session in our children's church, and then they will go through 4 rotation stations, which will be the Wild Bible Adventures, which is the Bible story, Sticky Scripture, which is memory verse, Imagination Station, which is science, and then Glacier Games, which will be games outside. And of course, we can't forget the treats. There's going to be tundra treats. And I'm sorry, our theme is True North, trusting Jesus in a wild world. So registration, if you think you'd like to help with that, or if you think you'd like to sign up to help decorate, or if you'd like to be a crew leader, if you are interested in being a crew leader, it is very important that you get with me because you will have to have a background check, okay? And if anyone would like to help with snacks, where we will be serving snacks each night, so we'll need ladies to prepare those and serve those. And then, of course, clean up each night. So if you are interested in helping, please see me after church. There's more information in the foyer. Pick up registration forms for kids. I also have signs. If you know of a business, you can take and put a sign up in. We have those ready to go to businesses all over town and be put up, or anywhere you can think of that you can put up a sign advertising our Vacation Bible School. I have those flyers. So anyway, we appreciate any and all help, and come see me and help me and Sister Victoria get this going.
Hallelujah. Hand clap for that. Thankful for people with a vision, right? At this time, we'll take our Wednesday night offering. A couple other announcements while they're getting ready. June 8th is our Fresh Fire. And then that evening, we will have an evangelist, Brother Jonathan little more. Okay, sorry. Okay, and then June 14th is our men's breakfast. That will be at the lake property at 8 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. June 15th, fall.
You do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you are.
Through, you are always. on, lift our hands to heaven and worship the Lord together. Jesus, we love you this evening.
Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for the mercy.
You're so good to your people. Hallelujah. Blessed be that name that's above every other name. Thank you, Lord, for that name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. No name like the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the only saving name, the only healing name, the only delivering name. It's all you'll ever need. God have mercy. I'm so thankful I know him. Not like I want to know him, but I thank God I know a part of who he is and I want to know more about him. Amen, amen. Good crowd on Wednesday night. It's the will of God to have as many people here on Wednesday night as on Sunday morning. Amen, amen. If somebody's missing the night, I encourage you. Give them a call next Monday and say, we'd like to see you at church on Wednesdays. There's things happening here on Wednesday night. Amen. The Holy Ghost can fall on Wednesday and folks can get the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. I'm keenly aware that summer is upon us and vacations are coming, and that's all good and great. You should go, should have family time. I'm all for stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you, June, July, God's going to move up in this place. On Sundays and on Wednesdays, folks will get the Holy Ghost. They're going to get baptized. It's going to be a summer revival. I'm telling you, God's going to move in this house in a powerful way. Not because of me, but because it's his will, it's his desire. God don't operate January through December. He lives outside of time. He operates on one schedule. It's called revival time. It's always God. The Bible says the harvest is plenty. It's just the laborers are few. That's the problem. Amen. And he said, pray that God would send laborers. And guess what? God ain't going to send anybody else. He's going to send you. Well, glory. Amen. Everybody said June the 8th. June the 8th is Pentecost Sunday. In case you didn't know. And Brother Stephen's preaching Pentecost Sunday morning. We've already talked about it. It's going to be powerful. God's going to move. And then Pentecost Sunday evening, evangelist Jonathan Whittemore is going to be here preaching for us Pentecost Sunday evening. It's going to be a great time. I told him the day on the phone, the evangelist, I said, it is the will of God. And you can like it or not, but it's the will of God for everybody in the house to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Not just Pentecost Sunday, but it'd be a great time for everybody in the house to talk in tongues. Amen. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, it is God's will, and it is essential for heaven. Amen. I feel a little plug right here, so give me 30 seconds. Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. It is the evidence that you've received the Holy Ghost. Okay? But when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. It's not gibberish. It's not made up. Nobody can teach you. I'll never forget being in Abilene, Texas for several years. We had a great, smart dentist come to our church. His name was Dr. Poor Man, and he was not a poor man. I promise you that. And first time I met Dr. Poor Man, it was in Abilene, Texas at an ice cream shop downtown Abilene. And I was with the pastor, and he was one of the most faith-filled men I've ever met in my life. So faith-filled, now I hadn't been around this kind of person before, that if you said, would you be praying for me, he wouldn't do what I would do and say, oh yeah, I'll be praying for you in secret. He'd say, why don't we just pray right now? Now that didn't jive with me. I don't want to pray in public. That's weird, man. We're at the ice cream shop, and Dr. Poor Man pulls up in his beautiful Mercedes, whatever he had. It was next level. And we pulled up in a little Pinto Geo Metro. I'm telling you, it was so Pinto that the driver's door wouldn't open. So he had to climb up the passenger side. So we were really in style. The preacher and the pastor, poor as Joe Dirt. And we pulled up, and Dr. Poor Man, we noticed him in the restaurant. I didn't know who he was yet. And Pastor Driscoll said, this is my dentist, Dr. Poor Man. And I met him, and we talked, and we get in the parking lot, and we're in the parking lot, and we're fixing to leave, and I hear these words, why don't we pray? And I thought, sure to God, not here. People eating ice cream. We used to pray in places like this. And we get up in this circle, and I went to praying under my breath, you know, like, God, please get us out of here as fast as you can. I know what they did in the Bible, but that we ain't called to do stuff like that now in this day and time. And when I'm praying, I hear Brother Driscoll, and the Holy Ghost falls, and he starts talking in tongues. I'm thinking, oh, God, surely not here. And as I am embarrassed, I hear somebody else start speaking in a heavenly language. And I look up, and to my amazement, the Holy Ghost had fallen on the dentist's wife, and she's just talking in tongues like a Chinese man out there. And it was for the first time in my life and the last time I realized, if you need prayer, I'll pray with you in Walmart, Subway, wherever we is. We're going to pray, and the Holy Ghost can fall any place at any time. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get it. And you get it by seeking for it. You ain't got to beg God for it. It's a gift. It's a promise. Some folks spend their years seeking. The Bible says that God loves to give gifts to his kids. And God wants to give it to you. Lots of times, the only thing, and I'll talk about it Pentecost Sunday a little bit, but the only thing holding us back lots of times is we're afraid, and it's sometimes, it's not always pride, but it's just what's going to happen, what's it going to feel like, and we sometimes can cloud it out, and God can't move. But you hear me, if you'll just release it in praise and worship, God will flow through you.
Amen.
We ain't got to shake it into you. Man, we don't believe in that here. We don't shake the Holy Ghost in nobody. We don't shake them. No. That'll freak people out. Amen. But the Holy Ghost can move without you shaking people. Amen. This ain't my message, but it sure feels good about right now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But honestly, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, please, you can get it tonight. I mean, don't wait for Pentecost Sunday. My God, if God comes back, you'll be in a bind. Amen. You can get it tonight. Amen. And you got to be baptized in Jesus' name too. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. It's not just a profession of your faith. Some have erroneously said that when you're baptized, it's just professing to everybody else that you're saved. No. Baptism is essential for salvation. You're buried with Christ. When you come up, you're raised to new life, and you're buried only in the name of Jesus Christ. Not the titles. That's not to knock anyone who's ever been buried in the titles, but it's to say we know the name of Jesus, and that's what you have to be buried in Jesus' name. And I'm going backwards, but you got to repent too. Amen. So it all matters. Amen. Genesis chapter 11. I'm aware of the time. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 through 32. Kind of picking up in a weird part of the scripture here. I'm reading tonight from NIV, so if you have King James Version, please don't shoot me up here. I'm doing this for clarity's sake, just to kind of give you a little bit more insight of what's going on here. The Bible says Terah was the father of Abraham. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. Everybody said together. That's about 20 of us. Everybody said together. Thank you. Yeah. And the Bible says, and together they set out from the Ur of the Chaldeans. Anybody know where they were going? To where? Bible says they were headed towards Canaan. But when they came to Haran, what happened? They settled there. Verse 32 is a pretty tragic verse. Terah lived 205 years and he died where? He was headed for Canaan, but he died in Haran. I want to preach on a simple thought tonight on simply Haran won't do. Haran won't do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the anointing that's in this house. Thank you for our praise team that led us in worship. Thank you for this great host of believers who have gathered tonight to lift up your name. God, I'm nothing without you. I need your help. I need your anointing. Touch my mind, God. Help me to say the right thing. Bless these sweet people, God. Help us, Holy Ghost, to hear your word. And not just hear your word, God, but be doers of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time before you're seated tonight? We love you, Jesus. Love you so much, God. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. Heron won't do. These scriptures here in Genesis chapter 11, 31 through 32, they're very interesting. And I've read these verses, I don't know how many times. But only while reading in just my daily devotion, wasn't trying to get a message, wasn't trying to hear the voice of God per se, or I was, I guess you could say, but it was just my daily reading and my weekly reading of chapters in the Bible. I'm back reading Genesis again. In my daily scripture reading again this week, for the first time, in all my ministry of preaching 22 years, did these two verses, for whatever reason, they stood off the page to me. And up until this point in my mind, I had always had it in my brain that God had spoke to Abraham that he was to get out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, out of that country. He was to leave his family. He was to leave behind what was known in the Ur of the Chaldeans for idol worship, and he was to head for a place that God would show him. And I thought that Abraham had done just that. But for the first time in reading this week, I realized that it was his father, Terah, who was the one who actually started the journey to the land of Canaan. It was his father, Terah, who the Bible says he took Abraham. He took his daughter-in-law, Sarah. He took his grandson, Lot. And he left the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he headed for the land of Canaan. But for some unknown reason, and I had no clue as to what it was when I started preparing for this message, but I believe the Lord helped me see what it was that caused Terah to stop in that city called Haran on his way to Canaan. And not just stop in Haran, but to settle there in Haran. If you study the meaning of words in the Bible, you will know that unlike today, a word in the Bible oftentimes had deep meaning, and not just deep meaning, but deep spiritual meaning. And the word Haran, according to Strong's Concordance, it means to be parched or to burn. Therefore, Haran can be interpreted as a parched place or a dry place. And when Terah and Abraham and his family, when they arrived in that city of Haran, in that particular day, the city of Haran was a major trade city in ancient Mesopotamia, and it was rich, according to commentaries. It was rich in commerce and in culture, but it was also a center for idol worship. It looked like it had everything, but in reality, it had nothing that led to the promise. It was a dry and it was a barren place. And I personally believe the reason why Terah, the father of Abraham, who was on his way to Canaan, the reason why he stopped in Haran, and not just stopped in Haran, and I'll get more into this in a few minutes, but the reason why he settled there in Haran was because it was a familiar place to him. It was a comfortable place to him. He had came from the Ur of the Chaldeans, and the Ur of the Chaldeans was also known for a place to have incredible amounts of idol worship. And so when he got to this familiar place in Haran, he realized, man, they're doing the same thing we were doing back in the Ur of the Chaldeans. This is a pretty familiar place. They have idol worship. It's a great place to raise a family, it seems like. It's rich in commerce. The ground is fertile, so it seems. And I believe personally it was the familiar that pulled Terah in. And I personally believe the Lord showed me that the reason why he never tried to leave again and to head toward Canaan like he had originally intended to do when he started was because Terah had never been to Canaan. Terah didn't know what truly awaited in Canaan. So instead of pushing forward outside of the familiar, he decided to stay in a place where he could be comfortable at. And in doing so, tragically, Terah, the father of Abraham, he never finished the journey. But that's not really what blew my mind. What truly blew my mind was that after he died, after Terah died in Haran, the place he was not supposed to die when he started, the very next chapter, in the very first verse in Genesis chapter 12, I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says this: now the Lord, everyone said, had said. The Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. In other words, before Abram ever left with his daddy out of the Ur of the Chaldees, before his father ever started that journey out of the Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, God had already appeared to Abraham and said, you better leave behind the familiar. You need to leave behind what is comfortable to you, and you need to leave behind what you can control, and you need to trust me. But instead of Abraham trusting God, he went with his daddy. And the Bible says that Abraham, along with his daddy, they settled together in that city called Haran. Abraham, this great father of the faithful, what you probably didn't realize was that his journey in living for the Lord was he started right, but he got in a bad place and he settled in comfort. In other words, he obeyed God in leaving out of the Ur of the Chaldees, but he only partially obeyed God, for he was still with his family, those who had influence over his life. He was still in the center of idol worship. He was still around it all, except this time he was in a dry and a parched land that would end up becoming a graveyard for his daddy. Stephen confirmed what God had spoken before, that before his daddy ever got him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, Stephen, who was fixing to be stoned to death, he confirmed this in Acts chapter 7 when he said, the God of glory, he appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, which was the Ur of the Chaldeans. And before, he says, he dwelt in Haran, he appeared to him and said, get out of your country, get away from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you. Then the Bible says he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and he dwelt in Haran. And from there, from Haran, when his father was dead, after the influence of his father had dwindled in his life, the Bible says only then did he move from that land. And I want to preach tonight a simple thought to this great church that I felt like God put in my spirit to maybe send a warning, and to prayerfully you will allow God to put all of this in all of our spirits tonight, and that is, Haran will not do. That you must not settle for Haran. I know that Haran is alluring. It is a place of comfort. It is a place of the familiar. But the Haran you see right now, and I will unmask it in a few minutes, but the Haran you see right now, it is only a mask. But when the mask is taken off, Haran is nothing but a dry and a parched land. And Terah, unfortunately, never makes it out of that land. And Terah dies in a familiar place. Roughly, study the geographical location. He died roughly 500 miles from Canaan and about 600 or 700 miles from the Ur of the Chaldeans, simply meaning he was nearly halfway to where he was headed when he decided and said, I think I'll stop and settle in Haran. And I want to tell somebody tonight in the Holy Ghost that God did not call you to stay in the familiar. God did not call you to stay in a comfortable place, but God called you to go beyond yourself. God called you to get out of the box, if you will, and to go against the status quo and to go against the grain, if you will. I know Haran looks pretty. I know Haran feels right, but Haran ain't right. It's only a stopping place before you get to the land of Canaan. Many people In the spiritual, they decide to settle in Haran. But you hear what I'm telling you. You will not survive in Haran. Again, the Bible tells us that his father, he died there. He had good intentions, no doubt. But the Bible plainly tells us that when he did leave the Ur of the Chaldeans, which was also, again, known for idol worship, that he was headed to Canaan, which was a land, the Bible says, that flows with milk and honey. But instead of reaching that land of milk and honey, he died in a dry place. But I'm very thankful tonight that God had mercy on his servant Abraham, and he told him, you got to get out of where you are. You've got to get delivered of being settled in comfort, of being settled in complacency, of being settled in spiritual apathy. You know what spiritual apathy means? It means there's a lack of passion. There's a lack of concern for the or a desire for the things of God. It shows up when someone becomes spiritually lazy, uninterested in prayer or worship or reading the Bible or growing in their relationship with God. They may still believe, but their heart is no longer stirred. They're just going through the motions or not moving at all. I know it's a little bit heavy on a Wednesday night, but just hear me for a few minutes tonight. The Bible says there's lots of people who they profess me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I'm going to tell you what that really means. That means they've camped out in Haran, and they're in danger of settling in a place that God never intended them to do. And if the Lord could help me today, I want to somehow rattle somebody's bell and tell you, you better get out of Haran while you can. You better get out of that dark place that's trying its best to steal from you what you know is right, what you know that God is trying to call you out of. The Lord said, you better make sure spiritual apathy is by the wayside, because you can't serve God by just going through the motions. Well, I look right. I do right. No. Looking right ain't never saved nobody. What matters the most is what's on the inside of that soul. It's got to manifest itself on the outside. And I'm appealing to somebody tonight. You've settled yourself in Haran, and the Lord sent me to tell you, you better dig up the roots and get out of Haran and head toward Canaan. God is calling you higher than where you are right now. Haran will not do. I'm headed for Canaan land. Whatever you do, do not leave your family behind in Haran. Do not leave your family behind in complacency. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. We're just pilgrims, folks. We're just sojourners in this weary land. I'm not worried about to be keeping up, quote unquote, with the Joneses. I'm not worried about trying to be like so-and-so, and what if that offends? Well, if it offends, it offends. I refuse to bury my babies in a place of complacency. I refuse to bury my babies in a place of prayerlessness. I refuse to bury my babies in a place of not knowing what it is to get moved on by the Holy Ghost and God to operate and move through. I'm telling somebody right now, it ain't the preacher's job. It's your job to make sure you don't stay in Haran, to make sure your babies don't stay in that place of comfort. Turn to somebody and tell them, let's all go together. I ain't stupid. In Canaan, there will be giants. In Canaan, there will be a Jericho you have to march around. In Canaan, there will be a battle called Ai. But if you'll leave, hear me tonight, if you'll leave Haran, if you'll get up in your spirit, Lord, I've been in a dry place. I've been in a season of comfort. I've been a season of complacency, Lord. I've come in the house. I've sit in the house. I've talked about you. I've tried to look right, act right, live right. But I know in my heart I'm 100 miles from you. I can't even. I know what it used to feel like to get moved on by the Holy Ghost. I know what it used to feel like to shake and tremble under the power of God. Well, that's outdated. If that's outdated, you might want to find somewhere else, because we ain't in an outdated church, folks. I'm telling you, it's still God's will for you to shake and to quake under the power of of the Holy Ghost. It's still God's will for him to sweep in a house. And I'll just go a step further. I still believe it's God's will that people can be slain in the Holy Ghost. We can carry them up out of this house drunk under the power of a holy God. Hear me. Before they ever invented Coors Light, Bud Light, they were taking them out in an upper room. They were taking them out in Old Brush Harbors. And when they woke up, there was no hangover. When they woke up, they still felt great. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost, it's alive. It'll keep you alive if you let it. Hear my heart. I'm not trying to come across as hard, and I pray I'm not, but I do pray you hear what I'm saying right now, that God, he's trying, like Paul told Timothy, you better stir up that gift, son. You better, because he told Timothy, I know your grandma had it. I know your mama had it. Cool, great, good. But you won't be saved off of what they had. You won't be saved by thinking, well, if I can just maybe get a little bit. Well, no. He said, you better stir it up for yourself. Because if you're not careful, if you just try to live off of what someone else had, you hear me? This house will become nothing but a memorial place. And we ain't interested in having cemetery plots with eyes sitting here, are we? I pray to God not. We're trying our best to have a moving, breathing organism called the power of the Holy Ghost. And he wants you to be a part of it. But in Canaan, not only are there battles, but Canaan land is still the objective. It's still the promise. It's still a land that flows with milk and honey. Or in our day, it's still a land of abundance. It's still a place of rest. No more wandering meaning. That's why people, when they come to the church and they say, I've tried drugs, I've tried alcohol, I've tried everything imaginable, trying to fill this hole inside of me. When you get in Canaan land, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I promise you, you won't search for it in depression pills. You won't search, I'm telling you right now, you won't search for it in a bottle. You won't search for it in a needle. I promise you, everything you need is locked up in the name. Everything you need is locked up in the Holy Ghost. And God can somehow rearrange your mind and rearrange your spirit and let you know when you get in here, there is no more wondering. In Canaan land, it's a place where you receive your inheritance, your God-given portion, your God-given calling. It's a place that you come into a place where houses you didn't build and wells you didn't dig and vineyards you didn't plant. I'm telling you, there's probably two or three churches in the grave just in this Lamar County out of this church. Thank God, I said it Sunday, thank God there's padded pews, carpeted floors, and air conditioners. Thank God we're sitting on pews we didn't build. We're in houses we didn't build. We're experiencing great blessings from wells we didn't dig. Let's not take that for granted. It's letting us know that others before you did it, and you can do it if you'll stay in the land of Canaan. And when you get in the land of Canaan, it's a land where God goes before you. It's a land where the presence of God is with you in every single battle. And most importantly, it is a land of victory if you obey. I've come to preach tonight that Haran will not do. Haran is and has never been, nor will it ever be, the will of God. Abraham got stuck for some reason. He got stuck in Haran, and for some reason he didn't listen to the voice of God when he told him to go the first time. And for some reason they chose, the Bible says, to settle there. If you study that word settle there, what it means, it simply means to sit down, to dwell, to remain, to inhabit. In other words, it's not a temporary stop. It means they made themselves at home. What's that look like in 25? I'll tell you what it looks like. It's just coming to church on Sunday and Wednesdays, filling a pew. Here it is, checking the boxes. Check, I came to church on Sunday. Check, I came to church on Wednesday. Now, don't push me to pray. Don't push me to go a little bit deeper. Don't push me, preacher, to go a little bit farther. I'm just comfortable where I'm at. And you hear me? What happens after a while is you begin to settle there. I told you, I ain't scared of the devil if he shows up, but I'm terrified of flesh. because I can't cast you out. If you got a devil, I pray you don't. But if you do, we can cast him out. But your flesh that's not submitted to God, even God can't move you. Oh, I felt about 30 walls just like this. You just no idea. Hear what I'm telling you. Your flesh, lots of times what you're fighting ain't the devil. You're fighting you. Anybody besides me, I shouldn't say this because this would get me fired. Anybody besides me ever didn't want to come to church? A few honest people afraid to shake their head, yeah, I have many times. Now I'm the preacher. And I had to be here. It'd been a million times I thought, I don't want to show up. It's okay to be honest. Amen. We're all right. But I know, hear me, if you yield to that thing, if you yield to that voice, after a while, it's easy to get settled there. And then when God comes by and brings conviction, when God sends a preacher, now all of a sudden, who does he think he is? How dare you to step on my toes? How dare you to tell me to do what the Bible says I ought to do? When you read Hebrews 11:25, when it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some are doing. He said, but what he said is in the Bible. But when you, as you see the day what? As you see the day of Christ, his return nearing, he went a step further and said what? You ought to do it even more. Why? Because Haran is outside the door. And Haran is pulling for you, telling you, just get at ease. Just be comfortable. Don't give too much. Don't insert yourself too much. Don't become involved too much. Just get settled outside the house. Don't you know it's okay to be close enough, but not all the way in? Tara, I'm convinced. It's in my notes, but I feel a side trail right here. Tara, I'm convinced. He convinced his boy. We won't be here forever. I promise you, son, it's just a side stop. I promise you. Daddy's tired. He's tired of fighting. He's tired of wrestling with things. He's tired of dealing with things. I'm tired of the fight. Let's just stay in Haran for a few days. And a few days turn to a few months. And a few months to a few years. And a few years turn to his graveyard. All because he settled there. All because he became comfortable there. And the Lord, I'm telling you, he's knocking at the door tonight telling somebody, I'm trying to come in the house, but I will not come in flesh. But if you'll somehow get your spirit back in alignment with me and realize Haran's going to kill you, and I'm trying to get you to Canaan land, I'm trying to get you out of comfort, if you'll just come with me, if you'll stop rejecting me. Will of God for everyone in this house, including me, to understand this next part, and I'll spend the next 10, 15 minutes closing with this. God has always been a moving God. From Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God moved. He started moving, and he ends this thing moving when he takes his bride out of this place. But you hear what I'm telling you? You study Old Testament. You study New Testament. People who got complacent. People who got comfortable. They just stopped moving. And God has never been one to sit. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this about Abraham. When he finally got delivered from Haran, the Bible says this about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, listen to this. He went out not knowing where he was going. Isn't that a lot like God? How about you just trust me? Yeah, but I want all the details. Yeah. Anyone besides me ever get, shouldn't say mad, but God will give you where you're going. He just won't tell you how you're going to get there. Do you think Joseph would have really signed up to be prime minister of Egypt if he'd have known his brothers wanted to kill him? He'd have been in a pit. He'd have been slowed to pavery. Some lady would have lied on him. He'd have been thrown in. Not on your life. He'd have ran from that. So what did God do? God backed him into it. God said, you just trust me, Joe. Believe me, if you stay where you are, son, it's going to be Haran. But when I get through with you, you'll look up and you'll see your brothers again and you'll realize I've been called like Esther to the kingdom for such a time as this. I made up my mind. I'm not staying where it's complacent. I'm not staying where it's comfortable. I'm just going to move through this and prayerfully we get some practical points in and we'll let you go to the house. How do we move with God? How do I get out of Haran? Cool thing about God is don't feel bad if you're stuck tonight in Haran. You ain't got to stay there. Man, God, if you're breathing, I ain't seen no dead people here tonight. If you're breathing, you can still leave. As long as there's breath, God is still knocking. He said, if any man hears my voice and does what? And if he'll open the door, he ain't going to open it for you. If he'll open it, I will come into him. I'll sup, King James said. In other words, I'll fellowship him. Fellowshipping with God is not what we think it is. Fellowshipping with God comes in things we call conviction. Fellowshipping with God is God getting down in my face saying, Brad, your spirit was wrong, your attitude. What are you doing, God? I'm pulling you out of Haran, son. I'm pulling you out of complacency. So how do I move with God? You move with God through a word. I talked about it last Wednesday night very vaguely, but you move with God through that word called sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification, I'll do a quick meaning of it. It means to be set apart for God. To be made holy. First Peter tells us, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. It is the process of becoming more like Jesus. Sanctification is the journey after Acts 2:38. Now some folks have mistakenly thought that when they obeyed the gospel, that was it. That ain't the truth. Just because you've repented, been baptized, have the Holy Ghost, hear me, that is just the beginning. When you receive the Holy Ghost, when God fills you with His Spirit, you now begin the journey called sanctification. That happens after you're born again. It is the journey of transformation as you learn to walk in the Spirit, obey His Word, and become holy as He is holy. And after you experience the gospel, after you believed on the Lord by obeying His word, Paul said it like this: so all of us who have had that veil removed from us can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So how do I grow in sanctification? John 17 says it like this: sanctify them by your truth. Here we go. Your word is truth. So the Word of God is one of the main tools that God uses to purify us and to transform us. And if you will let God, you will go to your grave with God, transforming you more and more into His image. But hear me, the day you stop letting God transform you, you are on a path to settling in Haran. The day you stop letting conviction work in your life, you're settling down in a place that ain't good. The day you stop letting God pull at you is the day you're turning your back on God. Well, why, preacher? That don't make sense. No, because God doesn't operate by what I feel and what I want. He said, you'll sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. What's that mean? That simply means if it's in it, I have to obey it. And if God deals and says, Brad, you got jealousy in you. Oh, God, I can justify that, can I? No. And the longer you justify it, well, I've heard folks say, well, that don't convict me anymore. And I've heard men say, I've prayed about this, and it doesn't convict me. And I thought, well, you ain't got to pray about that because it's in the book. You ain't got to pray about nothing if it's in the Word. It don't take God giving you something. No, no, no. If it's in the book, you ain't got to pray about it. You got to obey it. And sanctification happens by you obeying His Word and allowing His Word to transform you. And again, if you don't do it, you're headed to a dry place. And nobody, I don't care who you are, nobody wants to be in that type of place. Nobody in their right mind says, yeah, I want to go to a dead, dry, cold, dry place. Nobody. But I know what it is to be in that place because I've settled before in Herod. I can take you 13 years ago to a church. I was so far from God. I hadn't prayed in 6 months. I hadn't fasted in 6 months. That's a bad place to be. I'll never forget being in that service trying to raise my hand, and it felt like somebody pushing me down. I remember trying to read my Bible, and I didn't want to read it. You know why? I settled in Herod. I let an offense, I let things happen that mess with my spirit. And Herod, I'm telling you, it nearly killed me. Herod nearly destroyed me, but thanks be to God. I know I'll say this. Nobody wants to be around a Pentecostal person who's living in Herod. They're the most angry, bad attitude people. Why? Because they're always convicted. They're blaming it on their spouse and work. No, they're just convicted. And God's saying, listen, I'm trying to pull something out of you. I'm trying to sanctify you. I'm trying to get you living a life of sanctification. I love this statement. The Holy Ghost just doesn't make you shout, but He makes you holy. I told you 1,000, may I say 1,000, multiple times, I'll say it 1,000 times, that speaking in tongues, goosebumps, chill bumps on Wednesday night, Sunday night, that does not mean you're saved. I've seen folks get blessed and shook around like a top and then act like a devil. And I think, well, man, I don't know if they got the real one or not. I'm going to tell you what it is. God loves people. He dwells in the praises of His people. He'll pin a blessing. Anytime God blesses you, if I'm in sin, if I'm living wrong, anytime God gives me that blessing, don't mistake that for God's blessing on me or His favor on me. No, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord will lead you to repentance. God will put a blessing on you to try to wake you up. God will try to shake you around to see, will they surrender? Will they get out of this rut they're in? Will they learn? Hear me. Sometimes you don't even need God to speak to you. You need to make up your mind. That's what we're going to do. That's how I'm going to do it. I'll be here Sunday. I'm going to be in the prayer room Sunday night. I'm going to be in the prayer room Wednesday night. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to live the best life that I can. Why? I'm trying to escape from Herod. I'm trying to get out of that place. Well, my daddy died there. He may have died there. You ain't got to die there. You can get out of that mess. You can leave that mess. Sanctification leads to eternal life. Paul said, I'm using an example from everyday life in Romans 6. He said, because of your human limitations, he said, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness or right living. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap, hear this, leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Listen to this. The fruit of sanctification, I'm almost done. The fruit of sanctification is holiness. Commentary says, holiness and sanctification are closely connected. In fact, they often mean the same thing in Scripture. Sanctification equals the process. Holiness is the result. You think of it like this. Sanctification is the journey. It's the ongoing process of being made clean, being made set apart, being transformed by God. Holiness is the lifestyle and the condition that sanctification produces. Sanctification is leaving Haran and going to Canaan. Canaan for us is living a victorious life and ultimately reaching heaven. How so? By always moving with God. How so? Take daily, I can't express this enough, take daily introspection of your life. I've felt it about 3 or 4 weeks now. You hear me? Don't leave your family in Haran. You hear me? Whatever you do, make sure that every root that you have tied to that city, every root you have tied to comfort, to complacency, to apathy, to a bad attitude, to a bad spirit, to feeling justified, leave it behind. Because the Bible says this, that root of bitterness, the Bible says when it springs up, the next part says this, it defiles many. That means the infection spreads like wildfire. He says, you better get out of that city. You better make sure you leave behind that city of Haran. You better make sure you let sanctification have its daily work on you. I quote it again, like I said last Wednesday night. Paul said, that's why Brad Davis has to die daily. That's why I have to kill my flesh. Sanctification means saying no to sin and self and yes to God every single day. God said, whatever you do, don't get settled in complacency. Don't get settled in apathy. I want to encourage you. I know this is a little bit of heavier of a word for Wednesday night. I get all that. But I do really feel like God wants to reach for some people tonight and tell you that you've been settled too long in that place of complacency. You've been settled in that place of apathy. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's just that city pulls for you. People, influences, friends, they pull. No wonder God told Abraham, you better leave it all behind. You better cut off the connections. I've said it for years that if the friend, if they're the one pulling me, cut it off. If whatever it is, if they're holding it, if they're stopping it, thank God Abraham didn't die in Haran. Thank God he got out of the city. Thank God we now read him being the father of all these nations. Thank God for that. But there are some folks, I'm telling you, they never left the city. There's people sitting on pews who are gone, who sat on pews, went to a grave, and their families now are in Haran. Because mom and dad didn't take care of the roots. Mom and dad didn't say, baby, you got to realize, you got to forgive it, you got to let it go. You have to come out of that stuff. Anyone ever heard the story of Ruth and Naomi? Anyone know what Naomi said? The Bible says she left Israel. Anyone know why she left Israel with her husband and 2 sons? The Bible says she left because there was a famine in the land. Remember that verse? Anyone know what happened to Naomi's sons in the other land, her husband? They all died. Anyone know what Naomi said when she came back home into Israel? She's walking down the streets. She's with Ruth. And the ladies of the streets say, look, there goes Naomi. And what did Naomi say? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. That's what she said. Listen to this phrase. I left full, but I came home empty. Now, when she started the story, when she left the first time, she would have told you, I'm leaving here empty. She would have told you, I'm going to get sustenance in Haran. But she didn't know that was a dry land and that she was in the house of bread. And had she had stayed, it was coming back home. Had she had just hung on, it would have been okay in the end. But as a result, she did come back. But she lost what she loved. Here I'm telling you, you may come back, but they may never come back. You may survive in Haran, but they may not survive in Haran. That's why I'm telling you, and I feel it. I feel the Spirit trying to, oh, glorify me. But you hear what I'm telling you? That's why it is imperative that you pray like you never prayed before. That you fight like you've never fought before in the spirit. That you push, that you go into whatever you got to do to make sure, God, I'm leaving behind Haran and I'm getting me and my family to Canaan. Let's all stand. Abraham ended up becoming one of the greatest men to ever live. And the only reason he did, I said it at the beginning of the message, is because the Bible says all the days of his life he dwelt in tents. That simply meant he was never tied down again. That means he never got settled again. And God has always been a God on the move, meaning he's pulling you higher here. It may be this week God's calling you to a deeper prayer walk. It could be next week God's calling you to do something else. It could be next week God's, what is he doing? He's moving you closer to Canaan. The ultimate goal is when I close my eyes in death that I wake up and I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful. What does faithful mean? I've did my dead level best to obey you, to follow you, to trust you, to go after you. I did my best, God, to escape from those things that keep on trying to tie me down. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, God. Thank you for this church. Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost, God, would help me, number one. God, help me, God, to escape from anything that would try to pull me into complacency, anything that would try to pull me back into apathy. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit, Lord, would help us, God, to break out of the rut, to break out of the mold and realize, God, we can't do church like we've always done church. And I've got to push. I've got to go beyond. I've got to get into that secret place of the Most High, God. It's in that place, God, that you will cover me, God, that you will keep me, that you will help me, God, overcome, that you will help me, God, break out of the mundane, that you will help me, God, lead and guide my family and my own life, God, out of complacency, out of apathy, God, direct our steps, Holy Ghost, show us, oh God, how to move into that place. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, give us strength tonight, Lord. Give us strength tonight, God. Would you just stay more, 30 more seconds? Would you pray, please? Lord, help us, Holy Ghost. Come on, we don't have to stay here long, but you can make a heartfelt plea right now. God, help me, Lord. Come on, don't mean you're somebody bad, but God, I've been complacent. God, I've just kind of lived a lackadaisical spiritual life. God, I've gotten spiritual lazy. God, you're trying to tell me, God, that Haran, this dry place, it's not going to do. God, it can't sustain me. God, it won't be what helps me in the end. God, I've got to reach for you. I've got to fight for you. I've got to fight for my kids, fight for my grandkids, fight for my family. God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help me, God, I pray. Help me, God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said it's Sunday, and I'll close with this tonight. I hope this doesn't sound weird to you, and if it does, I'm sorry. But I'm a firm believer. It is the will of God for us to pray in our homes. I'm a firm believer that prayer is not just prayer meeting. It's not just coming to church. No. I'm a firm believer that you should pray in the house. And it's okay to be vocal in your prayers in the house. That's all good. That's all great. Because why? Because I'm trying to create something here. What are you trying to create, preacher? I'm trying to create an atmosphere. Man, I've said it before, and I'm not trying to harp on this, but you have to hear me. It needs to be that your grandkids know what it sounds like to hear grandma pray in the Holy Ghost. Here we go. And they need to know what it's like to hear grandpa pray in the Holy Ghost. What's that mean, pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray until something happens. Push. Move with it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, it availeth much. It needs to be mom and dad that you know how to take your kids, and prayer is not foreign to them. If it's foreign to them, you're living in Haran. If it's foreign, you're in a faraway place, and God's trying to pull you out tonight. Oh, God. Man, he wants to pull you out of it tonight. I tell you, it's a great time to start. It's a great time to say, we're all going to Canaan together. Amen. We're all going as a family. We're all going to heaven together. Anybody here? Let's do a poll. We'll hush. Anybody here desire you and your kids to go to heaven? 100%. That's a good number. I've said it before. You and I, you know this. I'll do anything for my kids. I'm serious. I'll fight. I'll kill. I'll die. When you love something that much, you will die for it. And they hear me. And we say that in the natural, but I'm not sure we really understand that in the spiritual. When's the last time you fought for your baby in prayer? I never forget, and I know I'm meddling right here. I never forget. I left TBC. I was back then as they come. I'd quit. I'd moved to Beaumont, Texas, got an apartment, and I was a devil from hell. I never forget. As long as I live, I was at Books a Million in the Parkdale Mall in Beaumont with the old Books a Million. My mom had just had surgery. Never forget it. She didn't know I was half backslid, but mamas have that sixth, seventh sense, whatever you want to call it. And she called, and when I picked up the phone, I was standing in Books a Million, and this is what she said. I didn't even say, "Hey, Mama, how you doing? I love you." It's what she said. "I want you to know something." Oh, God. "I told the devil he couldn't have you." And the Holy Ghost fell in Books a Million. Uh-oh, I better go pray. Amen. I'd be afraid God put me in a hospital room somewhere and knocked me off my feet. Yeah, I didn't play with Mama's prayers because she meant business. What was she doing? That's called war in the spirit. Oh, God, I feel moved with the Holy Ghost. That's called I'm going to pray until it breaks. I'm going to pray until that baby turns around. I'm going to pray until God answers prayer. I'm going to pray until God does. What are you doing? I'm getting beyond myself. What are you doing? It's what I do in the flesh. I'm fighting for my baby. I'm warring in the spirit. You can do it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Lord, bless us tonight. Keep us, Holy Ghost. Help us, God, to receive your word, God, to obey your word, God, not just to hear it, God, but to receive it in, God, to become doers of your word, God. Help us not to become victims of that city called Haran, God, that city of complacency, of comfort, God. Help us, Lord, to move beyond to that place called Canaan, God. Help us to be mighty prayer warriors in the spirit. Help us, God, to dig ourselves out of the ruts, out of the crud that keeps on trying to hold us back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for being in church tonight. I apologize. I went way over, but thank you for coming to church. We love you. God bless you. See you back here Sunday. Lord willing, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus.